to left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to the left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by Yell. Aguilla's rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames Talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
All right, let's get at it. Happy Thursday. It is Thursday, August 22nd. We're underway this hour on Flames Talk. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Save 40% on a Halo Smart Lock and start unlocking your house right from your phone. Visit CalgaryLockandSafe.com. Steinberg, Wes Gilbertson of Post Media along with you on this Thursday. Hello, buddy.
Hey, buddy. How are you today?
Doing very well. Ready to rock. I'm excited about this hour of Flames Talk. We're available live on Sportsnet 960 The Fan and, of course, Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. So, we've only got a few more days of Flames Talk on this kind of limited time midsummer engagement. We're off next week and then back after Labor Day for good. We won't be taking any time off after Labor Day. And today we wanted to jump in a little bit on kind of a social media trend that's popped up of late, because we're hip and so hip. We are totally in line with the kids.
You know, when I think about us, that's sort of the first word that comes to mind. Hip.
I think hip. Happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sex symbol.
Wicked. Radical.
Awesome.
Yeah, all those are still hip words, are they not?
Cowabunga.
Cowabunga. We might as well just hang up and listen. I don't think we can top that.
You've seen it all over Twitter, and what it is a lot of people have started presenting their hot takes for the team they cover or the team they cheer for the coming season. Three or four hot takes for the season ahead, positive or negative. So figured, you know what, on this Thursday, Wes and I going to present our hot takes. What hot takes do we have for the coming season? And then we'll tell one another how smart or stupid we are with our hot take. Like, is that hot take ridiculous? Is that the dumbest thing you've ever heard? Feel free to tell us on the text line at 960-960. And we also want your hot takes. Later on in the hour, second half of the hour, we'll dive in on the text line 960-960 for those of you listening live. What are your hot takes?
Yeah,
which ones do you have? And then we'll ridicule them and tell you how smart they are. Either way, should be fun. Hot takes are always fun. Some of them can be completely outlandish. Some of them can be really on point. So get them in at 960-960 if you want to participate in the second half of the hour. It's Pat and Wes right now. Let's get going. We've got a fun hour ahead. I'm curious as to do you want me to start or do you want to go first?
Yeah, why don't you hit lead off here?
Okay. I came up with a bunch.
Okay.
I don't know, maybe you take one of mine. So if we have one that's the same, well then I'll have an extra one. So I, you know,
that's very prepared of you.
Thought I'd come up with more than the three, just in case. Okay. Here comes hot take number one. Mackenzie Weegar is where we'll go on this one.
Okay.
Mackenzie Weegar will be named to Canada's Four Nations face-off team in February. He will be one of the 7-8 blue liners named to Team Canada for the Four Nations face-off because, first of all, he's already in that mix. You know, you take a look at different publications, you know, he's either one of the 7 or 8 or he's just on the fringe on the outside. And I see this very similar to Mark Giordano going back to the World Cup, I think it was in 2016. He just missed that roster and didn't end up making it. I think if Mark shot right, he would have been on that team.
Yeah.
But they had a little bit more of a glut of left side defensemen at the time. But for Mackenzie, I think what we've seen from him is a guy that has grown more and more invested in the future of the Flames, his role in the future of the Flames, his role as a leader, his role as one of the most important players on the ice. And I think that he is just bought in more and more to how important he is. And I think I think he's going to be even more invested in year three as a member of the Flames. And when you've got, and not to say he's ever, never, like, I don't think we're ever talking about a guy who hasn't been invested, but I just think the connection with the city and the organization has grown for Mackenzie as he's been here. And I think we're going to see that manifest itself even more on the ice this year. I think Weegar's going to have a hell of a year. I think we're going to be talking by the end of the year as him kind of in that lead pack of team MVP. And I think he's got a really good chance to be in the mix on Canada's blue line. So I think he's going to have a hell of a year. And when they get to naming that team in late December or early January or whenever they do it, I've got Mackenzie Weegar on my Team Canada for the Four Nations faceoff, which would also mean he'd be in the mix for the Olympics a year later.
You know, Pat, if I could go back in time 4 minutes, I would have said I'll go first, because one of my hot takes today was that I think Mackenzie Weegar will be on Team Canada's roster for the Four Nations face-off.
Did you really have that?
So
it's we did not consult on that.
It's very hard for me to argue with you on this one. I will go one tiny step, not necessarily further. I'll just add a slight take of my own. I think Mackenzie Weegar, because I think he's going to factor from start to finish on the power play, because I expect that power play to be at least slightly improved from last season, which didn't set a very high bar. I expect Mackenzie Weegar to threaten his career high in points again this season. I really do. I'm not sure 20 goals is in the offing again, but I don't think to take a run at 50-some points again is out of the question for Mackenzie Weegar. Now, back to the Four Nations face-off. This is sort of how I handicap it. And you mentioned, Mark Giordano probably would have been better off if he was a right-handed shot. You kind of look at Canada's options among right-handers, and obviously Mackenzie Weegar's versatility, being able to play both sides, is a huge asset to him. There's two guys, and he's going to need to beat out at least one of them. One is Noah Dobson of the New York Islanders, who really came into his own last year, who I think could make that roster as a sort of, we want to get you ready for the Olympics. This is a star in the making. We kind of think you're right on the cusp. And the other, and maybe it comes down to Weegar and this player, is Evan Bouchard of the Edmonton Oilers. Now, if I hear the term Boosh Bomb one more time, I'm going to quit writing about hockey and start a pickleball blog. But Evan Bouchard opened a lot of eyes in the playoffs with more than just that slap shot. And so when I look at Canada's...
That's a Boosh Bomb!
When I look at Canada's options on the right side, obviously Cale Makar's a lock, but Mackenzie Weegar is going to be right in that mix with Dobson, with Bouchard, probably with Drew Doughty if he has a similar season to how he did last year just because of his experience. But I really think the fact that he can comfortably play both sides, the fact that, and please, Oilers fans, don't text in about this, the fact that Mackenzie Weegar defends better than Evan Bouchard does. If you need a guy just to unleash that shot from the point, and maybe Team Canada will, right? That can be a weapon on the power play, then perhaps Bouchard gets the edge. But if you're looking for a guy to play third pairing minutes in international competition, I could really see Mackenzie Weegar on
Him going to the World Championships last year, and not only going, but excelling and being one of the best players in the tournament, the best player in the tournament, representing Canada. The first time he'd represented Canada
at any level.
He put himself on the map, and I think his performance at the Worlds has him on Hockey Canada's radar more so than it would be otherwise.
Yeah.
And plus, he has handled himself very well at the NHL level with the Flames, and I think there's going to be some competition for the bottom of that Team Canada depth chart. So. Yeah, okay. I did not think that you'd have that one. I'm a little surprised at myself.
You know, I'm going to stick with the blue line here.
Okay.
And I don't think this is a hot take, and I certainly wouldn't have thought it was a hot take a few months ago, but I'm not sure that this has become the prevailing opinion. This is my first hot take. Rasmus Anderson finishes the season in a Flames uniform.
Okay.
Now, I know that the speculation there is starting to build. I know that a whole bunch of Rasmus Anderson's Swedish pals have now left town. You know, it used to be, you know, you couldn't swing a stick in the Flames locker room without hitting two Swedes, and now that's not necessarily the case anymore. But I think Rasmus Anderson is still a Flame at the end of this season. Now, would I go further and say that he's still a Flame at the start of
2025-26?
Yeah, I don't think I'd go that far. I do think that that would be a much hotter take than saying that he is going to finish this season with the Flames. But I think as Craig Conroy and company try to figure out, you know, sort of what it's going to look like moving forward, I think knowing the value of the player, knowing the leadership, like when Craig Conroy talks about, hey, we're not going to get comfortable with losing here.
Yep.
Rasmus Anderson to me is one of the key guys there. He's one of the guys that is going to sort of help set that tone. And so for a whole lot of reasons, I think they could get some great offers on him. But for a whole lot of reasons, I think Rasmus Anderson finishes this season with the Flames.
So, and that'll play really well into my next one, which I'll get to in a second. But on the Rasmus front, 2 years left on his contract.
Right.
Now. I don't know where Rasmus's head is. I don't want to say he was, I guess he was non-committal when he was kind of engaged about it at the end of the year.
Yeah. And can I jump in on this? Like, I do think we're too hard on guys sometimes, and I don't mean us specifically, but you know, it's like if you haven't committed to an extension three years out,
do you want to be here?
Oh,
or what?
You must be sort of laying the nest to get out of town. And,
but
and I don't see
and
it that
I also
way.
Give him a pass. I remember Yegor Sharangovich was non-committal, but then signed an extension.
Yeah,
and I think the language barrier played into that at the end of this past year. But I think with like Rasmus's head was his wife was due in like 3 days and he was getting ready to go from doing this end of year stuff. And all of a sudden he had to go into dad mode and husband mode. And like, so I think anything that we heard from Raz at the end of the year, you need to kind of take with a grain of salt as well, because he had a lot going on outside of hockey. So I don't know where Rasmus's head is, and I don't want to venture a guess as to where his head is in terms of the future. But here's where I believe the Flames' head should be, and Craig Conroy is, you know, take this season as a real opportunity to impart on Rasmus Anderson how much they want him to be a part of the solution. Because I think what you said is very correct. Rasmus's care level, his engagement level, how much he truly does not like losing, he hates it. Those are things that this team needs.
Yeah.
Plus, he's one of the two top four defensemen on the roster.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, he's a really good player.
Yeah.
He's, you know, from a straight-up hockey standpoint, he's a part of the solution if he wants to be. So I just think you've got
and
a really good opportunity.
He's going to be 29 when his contract expires.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're not talking about a guy. I always put it this way. As soon as you trade Rasmus Anderson, what are you looking for? Rasmus Anderson.
Yep.
Now, do you get your socks knocked off with an offer for a player, especially maybe going into the final year of his contract, and think, geez, we can maybe fast forward this thing a little bit by taking our lumps, losing one of our best defensemen, and maybe what you've seen in the growth of the Parekh and Brustevichs allows you to do that. But in terms of people who think he might not be on the Flames roster in a week or a month or by the trade deadline, I just don't see it.
Okay, so here is my hot take that plays into that one.
All right.
Because I've got this. One established player not on an expiring contract will be traded prior to this year's deadline. And I don't know, like that includes maybe it's Rasmus Anderson, but you know what? We won't say him because that would conflict with your hot take.
Yeah, our hot takes have to be in line. I think we proved that out of the gate.
Blake Coleman, Nazem Kadri. Yeah. I just think, look, it would not be a hot take to come on here and say that Anthony Mantha or Andre Kuzmenko could be dealt before the trade deadline, because I think in both cases that almost seems like a foregone, I don't want to say foregone conclusion, but a very likely outcome is that one or both of Mantha and Kuzmenko are dealt somewhere else before the deadline. They're on expiring deals. Mm-hmm. They're on one-year deals in Mantha's case. While Kadri's got 4 years left after this year, Rasmus will still have a year left. Coleman will still have 2 years left when it's all said and done. I think that we will see, on top of the expiring names, I think we will see at some point one of the more established players with a contract that stretches into at least next season, the 25-26 season, will get dealt.
One of the things that Brad Treliving really prioritized during his tenure as general manager. And this isn't unique. Lots of GMs make this a real focus. But he wanted guys who had played in those big games, guys that he considered to be sort of gamers who would really step up in the biggest moments, obviously hoping that, you know, his Flames were on the brink of some of those big moments themselves. And while that hasn't come to pass, and we all know what the sort of current stage this organization is going through is, those guys that you mentioned, right? The Kadris, the Coleman, some of those Treliving signings, a big part of the appeal is what they've done in those big moments. And for that reason, I wouldn't be surprised. It's always difficult in the cap era to move contract that goes beyond a season, especially when you're making an in-season trade. But those two guys that you mentioned as forwards, and Kadri and Coleman and Rasmus Anderson as well, like if I was a GM in another city and I'm looking to make a run, those are the type of players anyways that appeal to me. Those are the guys that I think I want to kind of go to battle with.
All right, what's next for you? I've done two. You've done one. Although one of them we both kind of...
Yeah, we had a crossover one, but I can come up with another one. You got lots. Maybe you can slide one over to me. Here's another one for me. Martin Pospisil.
Yeah.
Not Connor Zary or Yegor Sharangovich. Plays the bulk of this season at center.
Okay, because here's one for me.
Okay.
Connor Zary sticks at center all year.
Boy. Oh,
and
boy.
And does not suffer through the sophomore slump.
Are we fighting?
I think we are.
This is uncomfortable.
Shan might have to play mediator here.
I think we all know Shan's on my side.
That's actually very true. So here's...
Okay, this is good.
I think Zary is their preferred option, the coaching staff and management's preferred option to be that number three center, if you will, behind Kadri and Backlund. And I think moving him to center and kind of communicating that to him, that we really like this to happen, I think that is going to be something that has spurred on his entire offseason and really forced him to buckle down that much harder. I think the added responsibility of playing NHL center full-time is going to make it so that Zary does everything in his power so that complacency in year two doesn't exist.
Yeah.
And I think Zary takes a step forward as a sophomore, and the big reason why is because he played down the middle. So I think Zary at center. Now,
okay.
I do think, and I know that you're a big fan of the idea of Pospisil playing center, so rebut me, if you will.
Well, I certainly am not worried, and I know this is not what you were getting at, but I'm not too worried about Martin Pospisil getting complacent in year two in the National Hockey League. He doesn't cross me as a very complacent sort. I'm imagining, for the same reasons you just mentioned with Zary, that he's also had a great summer, finally a healthy summer. But, you know, what I've heard so much, and I do think that both of these are good options for the Flames, I keep hearing, it doesn't make a lot of sense to take Pospisil off Nazem Kadri's wing. You know, that's a tandem that has really shown something together. And I sort of shake my head and think, why would you take Connor Zary off Nazem Kadri's wing? Why would you take what has the potential to be your best offensive duo, not just has the potential to, what really should be your best offensive duo at forward, and split them apart this season? And so I'm not leaving Connor Zary on the wing because I don't think he'd be a capable center. And in fact, I can see a scenario where later in his career, he is a full-time center. But I'm leaving Connor Zary at wing mostly because I think he and Nazem Kadri are the offensive engine of my team next year. And for a lot of the reasons that people are probably sick of hearing me outline when it comes to Pospisil's speed, when it comes to the fact that he's in the middle of everything anyways, when it comes to the fact that he is a very reliable defensive player, and when it comes to the fact that I think you need to rein him in a little bit. I think you... With the number of times that he's been oh so close or over the line, I don't think it's a bad thing to just sort of rein him in a little bit, to not have him always be the first guy on the forecheck. I actually think that, while I don't think you're taking the physicality out of his game, I think Martin Pospisil at center can solve that problem as well. And so that's the reason I foresee him there.
The only, my bit, problem's the wrong word.
Yeah.
I love Pospisil.
Sure.
On Kadri's wing, opening
and
stuff
and
up.
I get it. I absolutely get it. Quite frankly, you wish you had another center so you could leave that line together.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah.
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 What do you got for me?
Although I didn't mind Kuzmenko with them by the end. Like that Kuzmenko, Kadri, yeah. Pospisil trio.
Let's talk Kuzmenko for a second. Up. So I'm sure we've gotten into this, but Andre Kuzmenko comes to Calgary. I don't think they were thrilled with the type of condition he was in. And he missed a chunk of games because of illness. And he actually came out of that illness feeling a lot better because he was a little bit lighter than he'd been. You know, he lost several pounds as a result of illness. And I'm really curious to see what that does in terms of what Andre Kuzmenko thinks his sort of peak condition needs to look like coming back in. Because if he remains a guy who's similar to how he ended the season, we all know skating is going to be the question mark there. But if he can take advantage of it well enough as he did toward the end of the season, I think he can be a real factor for the Flames. But there were also a lot of nights before that illness that I just wasn't sure where he fit.
Agreed. And I still don't know where he fits long term.
Yeah. I don't think he fits in Calgary long term.
I don't. I mean, he's now moving closer to 30.
Yeah.
But if you have that line going leading into the trade deadline, Kuzmenko becomes a much more attractive piece for a team to think about going into the deadline.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I've got one more.
Okay.
Matt Coronato.
Yeah.
Sticks on the roster all year.
Okay.
I've got him with 20 to 25 goals in his first full NHL season.
Whew.
I think he's going to find
That's
himself.
Hot.
I think he's going to find himself with power play time.
Yeah.
Consistent power play time. I think he's going to find himself in a consistent top nine role. And I think the line that Coronato finds himself on, whether he's with Zeri, whether he's with Kadri, I think that line is going to be given a lot of offensive opportunity, a lot of offensive starts, a lot of maybe matchups against other teams' middle six forwards. So I've got a good feeling. I think Coronato went a long way in winning over head coach Ryan Huska in the back stretch of last season when he came back up and finished the season with the team. I think he took some strides by our eyeball in terms of the way he played. And I think this was a really big learning experience year for him.
Yeah.
He had to take some lumps. He made the team out of camp and then it fell off and he was in the American League for a good chunk of last year. And you know, he took those lumps. He went to the American League. He lit it up. He played really well down there. Got a few other recalls, but learned, improved, got better, and I think takes his first full professional season really, really well going into this summer. I think I'm still a big fan of what Coronato can do on this team.
Matt Coronato and I had a fairly long conversation at development camp, and we talked really only about one person. And that was Flames skating coach Danielle Fujita. And she is such a...
Best in the biz.
She is such an X factor for me in the future of Matt Coronato because I know how significant her work was in getting Connor Zeri to the point that he could take advantage of his offensive gifts at the NHL level. And I know Connor, if he was sitting here in Shan's chair, would be nodding in agreement. Like, yeah, that was absolutely pivotal for me to have NHL success was the work she's done with me and continues. Matt Coronato has been working a lot with Danielle Fujita, and they've made some changes that I'm really curious to see how it translates, because there's no doubt that Coronato has the type of offensive skills to get to 20 or 25, whether it's this season or moving forward. there's no question that the Flames are ready and willing to give them the sort of opportunity to take advantage of that offensive skill. And the question now is, has the skating improved enough? At least from my vantage point, that's the question. Has the skating improved enough here in your second pro season that you can take that big jump? Or is this going to be a little bit of a not such a steep incline? Is this just going to be a little bit more of a steady build as you improve on the skating? Is it going to look more like 12 goals this season and kind of build your way up to 25? That's what I wonder.
Well, the answer is number two, because that's my hot take.
I'm supposed to agree
with...
That's my bad.
Okay, text line, it's your turn. 960-960. Your hot takes for the coming season for the Calgary Flames. We'll do that as we continue on this hour of Flames Talk. It's Pat and Wes from our Groundworks downtown studio, your local experts for foundation and crawl space repair.
You're locked on Flames Talk, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
We're talking hot takes this hour on Flames Talk. Steinberg and Wes along with you. Welcome back to our Groundworks downtown studio.
Can I jump in here?
Of course.
I know we got a plan.
Yeah.
But I got a small curveball from you.
Okay.
When you left the studio, we had a guest hot take coming in from Shan.
Oh.
And I do think we should share it. It's a pretty good one.
Shan.
Shan
Vergie, outstanding producer.
Thank you.
And my son.
The winger situation, it's loaded for the Calgary Flames.
Uh-huh.
I think a guy that's coming off injury, I think Pelletier will get claimed on waivers when he gets put on there, if he gets sent down.
Whoa, claimed on waiver.
Yeah.
I do know he is eligible for waivers for the
first
time.
This is a great hot take. Let's give Shan some credit
That's
here.
Actually this, a very good strong. Hot take. And, well and done.
I think that it's such a likely scenario that I'm not sure the Flames risk Jacob Pelche on waivers for this exact reason.
And I think the other reason why I think that is because I know that... You know, Craig Conroy was here as an assistant general manager when Juuso Välimäki got claimed in similar situations. You know, Juuso's career got sidelined or sidetracked, rather, mainly due to injuries. He's never been quite the same since that offseason knee injury in 2019.
Mm-hmm. But he's proven to be an NHL regular.
He can play in the NHL.
Absolutely.
And I think he's finally even gotten the confidence back to be that. Well, Jacob Pelche's main thing has been injuries, especially this last year. I think Craig Conroy would tell you that he may have learned a lesson from how the Välimäki situation played itself out.
Yeah.
I don't think Craig would risk putting Pelche on waivers. I really don't.
You know what? I agree with you.
Because I'm with Shan.
Yeah. Like,
if they did, I do think he'd get claimed. No questions asked,
The people wanted hot takes, and Shan delivered.
I like it, Shan.
What do we got on the text line?
Let's get to it. And there are some. There are lots. Let's start with this one. Hot take. Huberto traded to Columbus to bring back Johnny with 50% cap retention on both sides.
What's the date on that hot take?
That is August 22nd.
Okay.
Of 2024.
That one's been kicking around for a while. But, it's hot. What do you think? You think it could happen?
Well, now that Sean's in Columbus, no, I don't. Because now Sean and Johnny are back together.
Yeah. Yeah. And Johnny was, what would be the right way to put that? Johnny was not a bystander in that process.
No.
No. Johnny had an active role in Sean Monahan's return to Columbus. So I love the hotness of the take, but I think if that one was going to happen, it'd be done by now. That's my own lukewarm take.
And by the way, the other part of that, full no move clause on Johnny. So he would have to fully check off on that. Full no move clause for Johnny. So that's important.
Monty might have to sign that too. I don't think he can push it through.
Somebody also asked, why would they both retain 50%? That would just waste a retention slot. Fair point. Because similar con, you wouldn't have to retain 50 on either side.
Hey, we asked for hot takes. I love it.
Okay,
keep
Rick from Montrose. Oh, this is in stark opposition to Shan's hot take.
Okay.
Rick says Jacob Pelche will force his way into a top nine role in training camp and a top six role by December. He'll score 20-plus goals and 20-plus assists and have at least one Selke vote as a winger.
There's a lot to unpack there.
And I will say this
about
Jacob.
Mm-hmm.
If Pelche kind of progresses to what I think his NHL ceiling could be, or his what his NHL, like his eventual NHL role could be, I do think it's that.
Yeah.
Defensive two-way winger that is going to play against top players on the other side. Maybe not 20 and 20, but I think that type of guy, that's a hot take, Rick. I like it.
I said immediately, I don't remember if we were on that night or when it was, but as I said shortly after the Andrew Mangiapane to Washington trade, the biggest beneficiary of that deal in the Flames system should be Jacob Pelche, because he is the guy who I see to be best suited to now join Michael Backlund and Blake Coleman on that line. Now, do the numbers add up to that being Jacob Pelche's spot? Right now, I'm not sure they do, but he's certainly going to get a look there in camp.
Here's our boy Dylan and Revy. Says, I really like Wes's Rasmus take.
Thank you, Dylan.
They have three very inexperienced goalies. They need NHL-caliber D-men who can help suppress chances against. Getting shelled day in and day out is terrible for a goalie's development, especially at Wolf's age. I also agree with Pat about Zeri. He showed very high-level hockey IQ. Pospisil is good, too, but Zeri has a higher upside at center and has already shown his chemistry with Huberdeau while at center, in my opinion. Pospisil makes more sense at wing, so he can run around and be belligerent. Dylan also says his hot takes. One, bad teams like the Ducks and Jackets take a step forward this year and pass the Flames in the standings. Two, Pat takes an in-season vacation this year and everyone's sad except Pat. Number two, like, does going during the All-Star break or the Four Nations break count as an in-season vacation? Because I will take Art. I will be taking that week. Tell you right now, as much, I'll watch the Four Nations face off, but I'll just take myself off the air that week.
As the writer in the room, I have to say, Dylan, well played. Belligerent is a terrific word.
That is a really good word.
Yeah, well done.
Columbus, Anaheim, either two of those teams take steps this year?
Well, I think the Flames fan base is hoping for a whole lot of teams to take steps to result in this franchise
getting a better pick.
I think Anaheim probably takes a bit of a step. I mean, if you're asking for me to show much faith in those two teams, I'm not sure that
you're not
I could
ready to do it.
Yeah, I'm not. That's a little too hot of a take for me.
Here's one that says Dan Vladar and Devin Cooley outplay Wolf. Wolf plays the majority of the season in the American League.
Ooh,
I can see Wes's face getting red.
There was another Dan Vladar hot take in there. You want to read the two together?
Let's see if I can find it quickly.
This one's spicy hot as well because of the number.
Here's another one. Wolf will take over the number one job in net 15 games into the season. Oh, that comes from Jordan in Brayside.
Okay.
This says, on the other side, John from Airdrie, Dan Vladar with new hips will start 60-plus games and lock in the number one role.
60 is spicy, John.
That's a big number.
I mean, if we start with the first one, I just can't foresee a scenario where Dustin Wolf spends the bulk of this season in the minors. And I'd really wonder, and yeah, I get it. You know, everything, you have to earn your starts and earn your spot. I'd really question what the Calgary Flames plan for the development of Dustin Wolf was if he spends more than, quite frankly, one
small stint.
I was going to say one third. I think that's even too much. If he spends more than one quarter of this season in the minors, then Devin Cooley better be on a Hamburglar type run.
Ooh.
There's a good pull, hey?
That is a good pull.
Andrew Hammond.
I just don't. I understand the excitement in the organization. Maybe excitement's the wrong word, but I know how pumped they were to get Devin Cooley. I know they felt there were other teams that really wanted him. I know they see potential there. I know they have high hopes for what Dan Vladar with a surgically repaired hip might look like. But Dustin Wolf is your best bet as your goalie of the future. And for him to be stuck in the minors, a league that he's won goalie of the year honors in twice, a league that he's become a regular at the All-Star game. Like, I just don't think the question mark on Wolf is his size going to work at the NHL level? Him stoning guys in the AHL for another 3 or 4 months, it just does so little for me that I'd wonder what the development plan there was.
Here's another one that says Cooley will take an NHL job. This from Grant in Hawkwood. This season is the beginning of the end of Calgary's mediocrity.
Okay.
I like that.
I don't mind that either. I'd be curious. Hey, Grant, if you get this in the next couple minutes, tell us what this season looks like. Like, what? When do you mean the beginning of the end because you see a really tough year and a high pick? Do you see this team overperforming and fast-tracking
things? I think the way I took it is that I think it's just the start of the process of them building to no longer be the mediocre middle-of-the-road group they've been for far too long.
I think that's perfectly fair.
How about Mitch B.? Good afternoon, gentlemen. If I may partake, hot take one, Dustin Wolf will win 25 games this year. Hot take two, Pospisil will only be fined once this year. One fine, zero suspension.
That one is hot. That one is hot. You know what? Martin Pospisil would love that. And I think Martin Pospisil's not going to get fined a lot for the rest of his career. And when I say that, it's because he's a repeat offender. And repeat offenders, they certainly get fined sometimes, but you have to be pretty careful as a repeat offender to not put yourself in that equation at all, because more often than not, it's going to wind up as a suspension.
Timmy K says, hot take, Connie will have a lot more to say this season. And I could see that. This says the Flames go 25-50-7. Kadri's traded at the deadline. Wolf, 25-50-7. That is a rough year.
That can't be the same person that said Wolf would win 25.
No, different person. How about this? This is back to back. One text, 25-50-7. The next, my hot take is the Flames surprise the league and make the playoffs in the number two wild card.
Okay.
You have to go a whole lot better than 25-50-7 to do that.
25-50-7 is almost historically bad. How many games did the Sharks win this year?
Less than that, I believe.
Yeah, it was right around there. I'll call it up.
Sharks won 19 this year.
I mean, it would be terrific. 25-50-7 would be terrific for your chances of drafting a cornerstone center. But I do think there's too much talent on the Flames roster.
That would be, from what I'm just quickly looking at, because I remember doing this when I did my This Date in Flames History project during the pandemic. The dark years of the Flames, the seven-year itch, the young guns.
Yeah.
The worst they did was 26 wins.
Yeah.
In 97-98.
Brian Sutter was the coach of that 26-win team, and he has some hilarious stories about it.
That was a rough.
Yeah, that roster
was a rough stretch. I mean, they only had 19 in 2012-13, but that was during a 48-game season. So
yeah, 25. Whew, I think there's too many. And listen, I do think this is a team that, as I keep putting it, is going to take some lumps this year. But 25, they got to outkick that.
Let's rapid fire through some of these. Flames will offer sheet Dawson Mercer. Love it. That is a good one. Give me more offer sheets.
Yeah, that's hot. I like that. You could keep that one in the second rounder threshold, I think, pretty easily.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Tiemann in Calgary, my hot take is that Zane Parekh plays the whole year. The blue line's barren, and he would be far and away their most offensively skilled D-man. I like it.
That because is hot.
Wes and I got into that earlier this summer.
Yeah?
Wes hated the even suggestion of him playing
I'm not
in
doing
the
it.
NHL this year.
I'm not doing it.
Mike in Calgary, Huberdeau gets 80-plus points. Sean in Strathmore. Brent Cron is not done talking about these Calgary Flames. I've heard that.
That's a good reference.
Mike in the Fail, up in Innisfail. Hot take, Vladar comes out and starts the season on fire, gets traded within the first 25 games. All right.
Okay.
Not going to read that one. Nope, not going to read that one. That's ridiculous. I like this one from Bruce. The Flames will win the season series against the Oilers this year.
Only 3 games this year.
Last time they played in Edmonton. What are they doing?
Oh.
That is the second time in 3 years they played the Oilers 3 times.
It makes
play the Kings 3 no times, sense. Play the Sharks 3 times. But they should never play the Oilers less than 4 times, let alone twice in 3 years.
Absolutely.
In what world does that make sense?
If you are listening, this is not a hot take for you, NHL schedule bot. That's awful.
Kelly says, Kelly in High River, Flames will get the second overall pick this year and first overall next year. Like that. Kuzmenko will have a good enough season that he will be a key part in a trade for Tiija Ginla. I like that.
Spicy hot.
Gaurav in Calgary. Kadri will get traded to Dallas at the deadline, 30% retained, and will propel the Stars to a cup. That one's mean. Won't read that one. Won't read that one. Won't read that one. This says Blake Coleman will win a Stanley Cup this year. I wanted to make sure I got to this one. Scotty and Lethbridge. The Flames will be a vastly different team following the trade deadline this season. Hold on to your horses.
That one's going to be interesting because you typically see the expiring contracts move, right?
Yep.
And we know there's not a ton of those, especially with Mangiapane out the door. You're looking at Kuzmenko. You're looking at Mantha. You're looking at, I suppose, Kevin Rooney. You know, a bunch of pieces that I don't think anyone's going to have at necessarily the top of their wish list. But, yeah, I like it. It's hot.
Good hot takes, friends.
Well done, everybody, and thank you. Thank you for getting Pat and I through an August afternoon of Flames Talk.
Yep. I like that a lot. That was good. We got one more day of Flames Talk on Friday before we hit our final hiatus of the year. And then after Labor Day, we are back for good. Just like Take That. We're looking forward to the coming 24-25 season. Did the Take That reference go over your head?
Yeah, straight over.
Robbie Williams, Take That. Whatever I said, whatever.
I'm not, Pat, I know we opened this prestigious
hip and with,
program.
Well, that's aging. That's hip. Aging me. That Take That's from like 1998.
Yeah.
I think they were pre Backstreet Boys.
I'm just over here humming hot, hot, hot.
Those were hot takes.
Yeah. Those really very takes. Warm.
Good stuff. Wes Gilbertson's on Twitter at Wes Gilbertson. Shan contributed something for once, a hot take to Flames Talk. Congratulations to Shan.
I'm going to be curious here, like if we can just go into this really quick. So we have a tradition here where we ask Shan to rate our segments out of 10. And he's been known to not be that generous.
Uh-huh.
He can't possibly.
Yeah, what's this?
He can't boost this one just because he Shan? Was asked to participate, can he?
Well, I thought that was a 10, guys.
Yeah, see, I knew it.
There was one shining moment. I think that was a 10.
Shan Virgie, one of our outstanding producers. Love him to death. Cameron Hughes, one of our outstanding producers. Love him to death. Thank you, boys, as always. Wes Gilbertson on Twitter. My name is Pat Steinberg. That'll wrap us up this hour on Flames Talk. This hour has been The Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Save 40% on a Halo Smart Lock and start unlocking your house right from your phone. Visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.